Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our hearts again as we turn to your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is, say, a powerful voice that speaks into our lives. And would you give us ears to hear it and to find challenge and comfort in it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd encourage you to turn to Leviticus chapter 20. And I would encourage you to have the Bible open. We are going to be turning to a couple of different passages, a little more than we often do. So first place we're headed is Leviticus chapter 20 and verses 7 and 8. If you're turning there and starting to just look at the chapter, you might see that it's not the most pleasant chapter. In, I don't know, maybe not the most pleasant book in the Bible. Right? We're looking at Leviticus. We often think of rules, and chapter 20 is particularly punishments for sin. Pretty much this entire chapter is made up of punishments for kind of gross sins that were being committed. I think these are probably sins that the people in the land of Canaan had practiced. God is saying, do not be like those. He's put in place the rules, and this is the chapter where we get the sentences. And the sentences are pretty much all the same. Almost all of them are death. Right? Sin after sin, we see the punishment of death. And then in close to the middle of this chapter, we get these verses. Verses 7 and 8. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Now, when we look at that phrase, be holy, because I am the Lord your God, or see it elsewhere sometimes, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Hopefully you recognize that that's kind of a recurring theme, a recurring refrain throughout the book of Leviticus. This is where I want us to skip around a little bit before coming back here. Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11, verses 44 to 45. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves about on the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. That's the text that Rich preached on a couple of weeks ago. Comes in a chapter talking about a lot of things. One of them, the dietary laws of the people of Israel. And there's that emphasis, be holy, because I am holy. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. If your Bible has the headings at the top of the chapters, this one's just called Various Laws. Right? Lots of laws being put together here. Some of them things we would understand, like don't steal, don't lie. Those are in this chapter. And then we have things like don't curse the deaf, don't wear clothing woven of two different kinds of material. All of those put together in this chapter. And in verses 1 and 2, the very beginning, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Flip over another chapter to Leviticus chapter 20, but not the verses that we looked at earlier. Look near the end of that chapter in verse 26. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. You have those two statements, very similar, kind of bookending that chapter of punishments. If we go on to just the next chapter, chapter 21, verse 8. Regard them as holy because they offer up the food of your God. Consider them holy. He's talking about the priests here. Because I, the Lord, am holy. I who make you holy. Now we've jumped around to all of these verses saying almost the same thing to see that this is one of the main sort of drum beats of the book of Leviticus. Be holy because I am holy. And it's good to recognize that a number of New Testament authors pick up on that same theme. The New Testament authors don't just wholesale pull in the entire Mosaic law, all of the Jewish law, ceremonial and civil law into the New Testament, but they do come back to this theme of holiness. You don't have to turn there, but we might think of 1 Peter chapter 1. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You could think of things like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. God's calling, holy life, being brought together. Or the verses that we looked at this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5. The same idea, live a holy life together. Flee from sin and live together in peace and joy and fellowship because you are the people of God. Now that we see that theme all over the place, I want us to be back in Leviticus chapter 20 and look at verses 7 and 8 one more time and see the thing that in some ways sets these verses apart. That comes at the very end. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. God continues to say, I am your God, be holy. And he's talking about their conduct, right? Be holy. And yet he also steps back and says, and I, the one speaking to you, am the one who makes you holy. Now, how did God make the people of Israel holy? Well, I think we can see a number of ways. One of them would be that he calls them. He calls them to be separate. Remember, that's one of the words that captures that idea of holy. What does it mean? Separate, set apart. And God is the one who does that for the people of Israel. He calls them out. One of my favorite passages that talks about that comes in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Don't turn there. Right? We've done a lot of flipping around, but I'll read a couple of verses there in Deuteronomy 7. It says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction.
He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. He says, I chose you. I consecrated you. I made you holy, but don't get a big head about it. It wasn't because of anything that you did. I chose you because I loved you. God makes them holy by his choosing.
But God also makes the people of Israel holy by giving them a law. That's another part of being holy. How do the people of Israel be holy? By keeping the law that God has given them. Without that law, they couldn't be holy. But God makes them holy by giving them the law. He chose them and brought them in, but being in has certain responsibilities. Some ways, maybe that's like some kind of exclusive club. It's really difficult to get in. But you can get an invitation. You can be invited into this club. But when you do, there's a dress code. And God is giving them the way to live in his presence. Of course, the law for the people of God is more serious. Because in becoming the people of God, you're drawing near the holy God who cannot abide sin. And so God graciously gives the law to set the people of Israel apart. God makes them holy by choosing them. He makes them holy by giving them the law. He also makes them holy by ordaining sacrifice. As you read through the book of Leviticus or through the entire Pentateuch, you see that sacrificial system emphasized over and over. God's given them the law, but he recognizes that they won't be able to keep it. They're made holy by being chosen, but they're still polluted by failing to keep the law. They're made holy in a sense of purity. They're made pure in God's sight by sacrifice. People of Israel sin. They make a sacrifice. Their sin is covered. They're seen as holy before God. God's commands for the people of Israel, these commands we could see if we looked around throughout Leviticus, they don't come out of nowhere. He chooses the people of Israel, gives them the law, gives them sacrifice, makes them holy, and then calls them to follow him. Now, what we've been looking at so far is the way God makes the people of Israel holy. Where we'd like to turn here is to see the analogy to us. That's the way God made the people of Israel holy, and he makes us holy in the same way. God has chosen us. I wonder where you would go in the New Testament, if there'd be any passages that would jump into your mind if you were thinking about God's choosing of his people. Jumps into my mind is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Just like he chose the people of Israel, not because of anything they did or because they're the most numerous people. He chooses us, not because of anything we've done. Because of his love. Ephesians is taken up with that idea of God bringing in the Gentiles, bringing them in, making them one with his chosen people, one chosen Israel. If you're a Christian, you've been chosen
by God, set apart for his purposes.
Just like the people of Israel were given God's law, Christians are given a law as well. If you look through the New Testament, just thinking back to 1 Thessalonians, we see over and over God giving us his will for our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the emphasis is on sexual purity and brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 5, the emphasis on respect for those in authority, discipleship, kindness, prayer. We can find those directives all through the New Testament. In a significant way, I think we could say those in the New Testament, believers, are given the law in an even more personal way than those of the people of Israel. I'm thinking there of Jeremiah 31, the idea of the new covenant, which is written on your hearts. Time is coming when I'll make a new covenant. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. They will all know me. There's the guiding of the Spirit that's given to those who are believers. We have the law of Christ. It's been given to us. That's how we're made holy by God. Set apart. Given the law. And of course, believers are made holy through sacrifice as well. Chosen and brought near, given his commands. And we look to the sacrifice of Christ. We're washed in the blood of our Savior. That's what all of those sacrifices through the Old Testament are pointing forward to. You sin, you have to have a sacrifice to purify you of that sin so you can be holy again. We have the sacrifice of Christ. I'd encourage you to think, dwell on Hebrews 9 and 10. There are particular passages that point to the way that the sacrifice of Jesus is more perfect, is more glorious than the sacrifices all through the Old Testament. We're made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus. As we read those verses, that idea that God is the one who makes us holy. Remember, he makes us holy by choosing us, by giving us the law written on our hearts, by sending his Son. He is the one who makes us holy. What's our response to that? Is our response just, great, I'm holy? No. The response is, be holy. Strive for holiness. Strive to obey. That was the theme of 1 Thessalonians 5, the end of that book that we looked at this morning. You do these things. Follow God with the understanding that he is the God of peace who will sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who makes us holy. Lord, we praise you that we can look at the way that you have made us holy already by choosing us to be your people, by giving us your law, by covering us in the sacrifice of your Son. But Lord, we long to be fully free from sin.
We long to be holy in all that we do, and we praise you that we can look forward to a day when that will be the case. Lord, we pray that you would make us holy more and more in our lives as we go for this week. Give us the strength, the strive to follow you. And give us the confidence that you are the one who makes us holy. In Jesus' name.